All right, let's roll this morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel and chapter 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'll start reading from verse 8. 1 Samuel 1 from verse 8. It's okay to bring friends and families with you for tonight's service. There are some people that don't know where they should go. Some people had plans to go and spend it just dancing. And sometimes they don't know what they are dancing to. Tell them to come and dance here. This is a good place to be. Because there's no better party than the Holy Ghost party. And we're going to have the Holy Ghost gig here tonight. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 8. So the Bible says, "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? And why don't you eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?' So Anna rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she said, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.'" Verse 12. "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Anna, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken," or she was drunk. Verse 14. "And Eli said unto her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you.' And Anna answered and said, 'No, my lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my heart of my soul before the Lord. Count not your handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.' And he said, and she said, 'Let thine handmaid find grace in your sight.' So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad." I declare that somebody, as we move into a new year, your countenance will no more be sad. Everything that is causing you pain and sorrow, those things will exchange for joy in the name of Jesus. So in the course of this latter part of the year, we've been talking about catch up. Catch up. I remember on the Sunday that I wasn't in town, Pastor Andrew was asking me what should she tell people of God? Is there anything from God? And I said, what God said about us catching up is really his idea. It's not my idea. It's not something that I wanted to say. God really means business. That tell the people of God that God means business. And I have seen a few people catch up. I have seen a few people have things that they should have had at the beginning of the year or some other time in the year, but those things didn't come. But somehow, by the hand of God and the providence of God, God has sped things up. But I believe there are still a few other people that should still catch up. And those people that are here this morning, I declare it's now your season in the name of Jesus. So I want you to be very attentive to listen to what I have to share in a few minutes before we pray, and we'll be on our way home so that we can come back refreshed for the evening service. I believe this sincerely, that every catch-up is actually a lifting up. Every catch-up is actually God lifting you up. Because you see, God is not in the habit of throwing people up. Throw up means that suddenly he just... I mean, God is a God of suddenly, don't get me wrong. But you see, God has a way of taking people almost like gradually. You know, many times when you see a child, and you've not seen that child for a little bit, you say, wow, this guy has grown taller. But really, the growing taller is not as sudden as it appears to be. It was gradual and it was daily. So he was lifted up. He was not thrown up. It wasn't that the boy was just 1 month old today and then next tomorrow he became 10 years old. Just show up as a man. No. He was lifted up. And I believe that this season, God wants to lift us up in the name of Jesus. If you can hear the sound of my voice, you are a candidate for a lift up in the name of Jesus. So the lifting up of God, many of the times, require a process. The process may not be apparent to you. The process may not be visible to many eyes. But there is usually vehicles or a means whereby God lifts his people up. There are vehicles of lifting up. There are vehicles that God used. There are levers that God used. In physics, we understand that many times when you want to lift a heavy load, you will leverage an instrument. You will leverage a machine when you want to lift a heavy load. When I don't know if you've seen this before in downtown. Sometimes they will be doing construction at properties very close to the river. What's the river in Chicago called now? Chicago River. not Lake Michigan. The Chicago River. Is it Des Plaines River? It's just Chicago River. Okay, Chicago River. I thought it had a particular name. Okay. Now, so sometimes they've been building buildings very close to that river so lately that one day I was joking with somebody. I said, a day is coming in Chicago. There will be no river. We'll just have a picture of the river. And the water will be flowing. And they'll tell you, there used to be a river here before. But look at this. Look at the picture. Can't you see that it looks like a river? And it's flowing. Because the way they are gradually moving more and more into the river, it's amazing. So when they are building some of these buildings that are very close to the river, they need to bring in supplies. They need to bring in things into those buildings. And it's very challenging to just use the overpass or the normal ways to bring those things in because they are really like at the brink of the water. So many times they use an helicopter to drop some of these supplies pretty much on the building or on that side. So they engage the use of a vehicle. They engage the use of a lever. And what levers does is that it gives you an advantage. People that trade, people that do stocks and do forex, they will tell you something like that. Usually sometimes if you have a trading company that you're working with, they give you a leverage. You can use more money than you actually have with them so that when you make more money, they will be able to get more commission and you also be able to make more profit. Similarly in life, there are vehicles that God can use to move us to the next level. And I believe you will enter into some of those vehicles in this season in the name of Jesus. Now, the story of the young woman that we just read is the story of Anna. And the story of Anna is similar to the story of many of us. We have believed God for some things for a long time. We have been at church for quite a bit. Sometimes it looks like even the pastor is not saying the truth. Because he's been saying, God will do it, God will do it. And it seems God has not done it. So what is the problem? The problem is that God... I shouldn't say the problem. I believe the solution or the thing that God wants to do is that God wants to bring out glory out of that situation. And I believe this is that season of glory in the name of Jesus. So Hannah was this woman that was loved by her husband. Very loved by her husband. But something was there that was not quite right. She didn't have a child. And she wanted to have a child because sometimes people don't have a child or they don't have children and it's a choice. But she wanted to have a child. So every year they had this annual thing that they used to do. They used to go to Shiloh. They used to have, we call it a watch night service. Every year, annually, it used to happen. And every time it's getting close to that time, she will remember that she's not going to go with her children because the way it happens is that when people appear before in Shiloh, they have to come with their family. They have to come with their children before the Lord and celebrate God and give offerings to God and sacrifice to God and be grateful to God for what he has done for 1 year. Now she's approaching this Shiloh again and it seems that nothing has happened again. And I know some of you, it looks like nothing has happened again. Another year is going. But I've come to prophesy to you that this is your season in the name of Jesus. I have come to tell you that God does not require time. God is the God that can compress time. God is the God that can shorten time. God is the God that can even change time. God is the God that lives in the past, lives in the present, and is also operating in the future. So all the time space are the same to him. So he is not bothered by time at all, because God is God. Remember when he showed up at the tomb of Lazarus, they told him, excuse me, sir, you are late. You are 4 days late. And they kept on trying to remind him that. And he told them, have I not told you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And they said, yes, we believe that we will see the glory of God on the resurrection. And Jesus now said, who told you that resurrection is a future event? Resurrection is a person, is a person. And when that person shows up, whether he shows up in the past, shows up in the present, whenever he shows up, resurrection can happen. And he told Mary, he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. I've come to tell somebody that Jesus is still the resurrection and the life, and everything that is dead around you can still bring it to life in the name of Jesus. So lifting up requires vehicle. It requires levers. And I believe from the story of Anna, we can find some levers that she used that may be useful for us as we look at another year. One of the levers she used was the lever of surrender. Surrender. When you want to walk with God, one of the things you need to understand is that things have to be done on his own terms. He has to be the boss. He has to be the president. You have to be the resident. He has to be the landlord. You have to be the tenant. You cannot want to do things on your own terms. He dictates the pace. He dictates the term. He dictates how it should be done. There are many times people want God to help them, but they want God to help them the way they want to be helped. They want to dictate to him. Sometimes when you hear prayers from people, it's not prayer. It's commanding God. It's telling God what to do. God, do this thing. God, do it like this. Now, it's good to be specific in prayer, but that's your specificity in prayer. It's not to choose the method. It's not to choose how God will show up, how God wants to display his own power. So the first tool and the first vehicle that I find in this story of what Esther did was she surrendered to God. She yielded to God. Can I tell you this? As powerful as God is not able to walk with an unyielded person. As powerful as God is. Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart. I am knocking. But he said, I will keep knocking until you open the door. If you don't open the door will remain closed. There are many things that will never be done unless you surrender, unless you yield to God, unless you allow God, unless you permit him, unless you give him the right of way. There are many times God wants to do many things, but we don't yield ourselves to him. Mark chapter 6, the Bible said Jesus came to his hometown. He wanted to do miracles. He said, but he could not. He was incapacitated. Jesus was incapacitated because the people did not allow him. They didn't yield to him. They stifled him. They stopped him. They didn't allow him. They pretended as if they knew how to do it. Because that's one of the things that stops God. Many times when people show up in things, at places, they know too much. I don't know how, when somebody that knows a few things comes before someone that knows everything and starts to behave as if he knows everything. You know that's an anomaly. When we are dealing with God, we need to understand that he knows everything. He knows all the combinations and permutations and every way things will. When you come before him, let him be the one doing the major direction, not you. Don't be suggesting direction to God. Let God lead you. Because when you yield yourself to him, he will be able to lift you up. Psalm 75, from verse 6 to 7, the Bible says, promotion doesn't come from the east, nor from the west. It is not about location. It is about God. who lifts up. And how does God lift up? God lifts up a yielded person, somebody that is yielded to him. I've told you this story before, that several years ago, I thought I could swim. Just like some people sing, I believe I can fly. And then they spread their wings and they are not really necessarily flying. I mean, physical flying now, right? So there was some time ago, I thought I could swim. So I got into the pool. People asked me that, can you swim? I said, yes, this is not just water. And then, you know, sometimes you have seen enough people swimming and you believe that what you see is what you can do. See, I just flap your legs and move your hands and all of that. So I got into the water. Boop. I didn't even, get into it easily. I just dived into it. And I found out that instead of what went down to be coming up, what went down did not come up. It just stayed down. And after a few minutes or a few seconds, I realized that it seems I'm not going to go up. So I had to cry for help. And then after I cried for help, somehow along the line, they got me outside. But what I was told later on was that to get people out of water like that when they are drowning, they need those people to yield themselves. In fact, sometimes when they find that people are drowning like that and they are not yielding themselves, they'll allow them to keep drowning. In fact, they allow them to drown completely, drink as many water as possible. And when they are fully drunk with water and they can't really fight, then they now help them. Because they've realized that if you try to help somebody who is still struggling in the water, you that can swim can also be drowned. So to save the guy that doesn't know how to swim, you have to let the person surrender or let the person be incapacitated. And many times that's how God is dealing with us. Because some of us, we are too wise in our own eyes. We are too smart. We have it all planned out. We are working out things for God. We are playing God. You know people play God? They set themselves up as if, no. You don't need to play God. Just surrender. As you are looking at 2018, the word of God to you is this: surrender. Yield your life to him. There are areas that people have not yielded to God. Sometimes some people have yielded their marriage to God, but they have not yielded their finances to God. Every area, God should be Lord. When we come before Jesus and say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Lord means that what you say is my command. Your word is my command. When you say anything, I don't take it as a suggestion. I take it as a command and I run with it. Surrender. Surrender. So that was the first thing I saw her doing there in our story, that she surrendered. Then the second thing I saw her doing, which was a vehicle that helped her elevation or helped her to be lifted up, was that she was serious. First thing, surrender. Then second thing is that she was serious. You know, I have seen something in life that sometimes people are not, they are nonchalant about life. There are some people, especially when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to dealing with God, they are too casual for goodness sake. And there is something about God. God responds, so to say, to the desperate. God responds to the people who are ready for him to respond to them. People who are willing, people who are anxious, people who are hungry for him. You know, when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are the who hunger and thirst. The people that hunger and thirst, they will be filled. There is something about hunger. There is something about expectation. There is something about being serious and saying, God, I want something to happen now. I want something to happen now. I believe there's a place where you get to that you are tired of being tired. That's what happened to Hannah. Hannah said, look, I have been going to this Shiloh thing. I've been hanging out around church. I can't be playing this church thing again. Every year cannot be looking like this. I can't be going to church and just be shouting hallelujah. If you are real God, then we have to sort out this thing. We have to sort out this thing. And so there's a point where you get to where you are serious with what is going on, and heaven takes you seriously too. Remember Jacob. The story of Jacob changed at the time Jacob said no. And many times you and I need to say no. There are some things that have been happening. You see something happen to one child, what happened to a family member, you just say, well, it is God. Let him do whatever he wants to do. You don't get violent. You don't get like angry in the spirit and say, God, no, how, what's the devil doing here? You know, get a little agitated. But some people just say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. And then you say, it's all right. God is good all the time. And if you live your life like that, the devil will cheat you a lot. We need to get angry in the spirit. We need to get angry at some things. We need to get angry at some patterns in our lives and say, no, no, this stops here. In Acts of Apostle, there was a situation where they killed James. Herod killed James. Now, in Acts chapter 12, the Bible said, Herod now laid hand again on Peter because he saw that what he did to James, no, nothing happened. Nobody disturbed him about it. Now, the Bible said he now laid hands on Peter. But in chapter 12, the Bible said, and the church now continually offered prayer for Peter. What did the church do? They got serious. They took it very seriously. Ladies and gentlemen, when you take your life serious, every other thing will take it serious too with you. Many of the time, the way we take our lives, the way we take our year, is the way the year turned out. Some people are very casual. When we're talking about 2018, some people are casually walking there. They're like, do you think that 2018 wants everything that is possible there to happen to you? Do you think that every element in the environment wants it to happen? No, there is some struggle in the elements, in the environment. You have to break through. You have to seriously push yourself out of the common or out of the ordinary. You can't just be nonchalant. You can't just be casual. No, you have to take things seriously. That's why in 2018, your service to God, your devotion to God should not be something you just take nonchalantly. I will pray when it's convenient. I will read my Bible when it's convenient. No, you have to take it seriously because there is something about God. When God sees that you are serious with him, he gets serious with you too. He gets serious with you. It's as if we receive from God what we want to receive from him. That's it. It's not what God can give. It's not what God has the power to make available. It's what you are willing, what you are ready, what you are anxious, what you are eager to embrace from him. That's what you receive from him. Look at Anna. Anna has been going to Shiloh before that time. But it was this time that she got very violent. The Bible says she was praying in such a way that the priest thought that she was drunk. Some of us, when we come to church, we are looking about everybody. Pastor, the way he's even praising God today, he's lifting up a wrong hand. He's not lifting up the right hand. See, it's just like that. The keyboard is distracted. I think she's off key. People are doing commentary inside of church, in the church. And when you are doing the commentary, some people are serious, focusing on God, lifting up their hand and receiving from God. Some people are watching. That's not how to receive, how to be lifted. So, ladies and gentlemen, the vehicle of lifting, number one, surrender. Another vehicle of lifting is being serious, not to be challenged. You need to be tired of being tired. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 says, what you allowed on earth is what heaven allows. What you allow on earth is what heaven allows. Many people think everything that happens on earth is the perfect will of God. No. Sometimes some people say, well, that's how God wants it. No, sometimes it's not so. It's not God. It's just the devil. I mean, we read in the story of Job that Job came to meet the devil. Devil came to meet God, and eventually devil started attacking Job. Was that the plan of God? No. It was the plan of the devil. It was the devil that made it happen. So if you see what is happening in the life of Job, even Job thought it was God. Because there was a time Job was saying, God gives, God takes. It wasn't God that was taking. It was the devil. And there are many people that have mistaken anything that happens to mean that God has done it. No, no. That's why you have to be serious. You have to have this zeal. You have to have this kind of passion about life that this is only one life I have. I don't have another life. I don't have a repeat life. It's not as if, no, when I mess up this life, then God will now say, oh, you didn't live this life very well. I'll let you go and live another one. And you make sure you live this one very well, okay? Okay, go. It's not going to happen. One life to live. So we surrender, we get serious. Then the next thing we see her do here is that we supplicate. Supplication. So there's surrender, there's being serious, there's supplication. Ladies and gentlemen, There is power in prayer. Prayer is a major vehicle of destiny. And in 2018, we're going to use that vehicle. Because we want to be lifted. And the lifting we are believing God for, the lifting we want to see, are not liftings that we will do on paper. No. They are lifting that God will do. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 75. It says, God is the judge. He can lift up one person. He can lift up. And I believe, everybody listening to the sound of my voice this morning, you'll be lifted in the name of Jesus. So the altar of prayer is the altar of turnaround. Anna did not just surrender. Anna did not just get serious or get zealous or get passionate, but she prayed. She supplicated. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is an opportunity to involve God. God knows everything, but God is not involved in everything. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. But until you involve him via prayer, many times you have not committed him. There are many things some people are watching, and they're just watching, they're just watching, they're just watching. But the more you watch it, it does not change until you involve God. Because once you involve God, God changes the equation. So prayer is that vehicle. It's that vehicle that lifts us up when we raise our voices to God, when we pray before God, when we make our petitions known to God. We commit the hand that move God, that move the heavens. We commit the hand that makes things to work here on earth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in 2018, if there's anything you need to build, is to build a prayer altar. You need to have a prayer altar. You need to be a man, a woman of prayer. You should not be somebody that does prayer contracting. You know, Pastor, please pray for me. Bros, please pray for me. People have a very kind way of presenting it and make it very spiritual. No, the best person to pray for you is you. The best person to pray for you is you. The best person, the best prophet over you, the most powerful prophet of God over you is you. So your own prayers are more powerful than my prayer for you. Because you know what you want. You can put in some other attitude into the prayer much more than what I can put into it. So don't leave your prayer to other people. Don't even leave it to congregational prayer. Don't leave it to when I come to church. Because some people, the thing that is holding us is congregational prayer. And even that congregational prayer, when we come to church, people are still like this. But in 2018, we are going to pray. Look at your neighbor, say, we are going to pray. Say, whether you like it or yes, you are going to pray. Because there is something with prayer. God moves with prayer. Oh, there are things that can change with prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes nation. Prayer can turn things around. When things have been completely messed up, through the power of prayer, through the power of supplication, you can turn it around. Look at what Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says. Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. I don't have a problem with New Year resolution, but make sure it's not just New Year resolution. Make it a request known to God. Can I amen to that? Because you see, many people think it's about writing on paper stuff. If it is about writing on paper, a lot of people have written things. A lot. Sometimes I go through my notes, I see things that just write, just keep writing. And people dream all kinds of things. Some people put pictures, some people do all of that, and some people go and say, I can do it, I can do it. It's not about that. It's not about that. The only way that thing will become a reality for real is when you make them known to God. When you don't assume. Because one thing many people have, one of the greatest problems and the way the devil steals from many people in the place of prayer is assumption. They assume that they have prayed about it. They assume that God should know about it. I mean, this thing has been bothering me for a long time. God should know about it and God should take care of it. Really? No. You need to make it known to God. That's what Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says. It says, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. It's not that God does not know it, as he's ignorant of it, but he has not been formally involved. Your prayer is like an application for involvement. When you tell him, Lord, this and this and this in 2018 is what I want you to do, you are applying for involvement. And when you involve God, ladies and gentlemen, that's when that thing can happen. Even common, I want to lose weight. If you don't involve God, it's hard. Amen. It's hard. you will lose 1 pound today and you will get 2 pounds tomorrow. Amen. In fact, you will not look like the food is doing over time on your body. Because you can ask me the story. Because sometimes I stand on the scale, I'm like, this scale is not working. No. It must not be working. Because what this... We have been working out, sweating, and all of that. We've not seen any movement. But when we involve God, and there is nothing too small to involve God in. Nothing. 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 Even looking for keys. Have you not noticed? Sometimes when you are looking for keys, you look. Sometimes after I've disturbed myself, I just say, Holy Spirit, please help me. Where's this key? And you'll be surprised. Just once, just calm down, surrender to Him, yield to Him. There will just be like a nudging. Say, check under that paper, that newspaper. And you're like, I didn't read the newspaper. Then you open it up and you find the key there. Even little things like that. Little things. There is nothing too small to ask God. There is nothing too small to commit to God. So as we go into 2018, if you want to be lifted, you need to understand that you must be surrendered. Surrender your life and every area of your life to Jesus. You must be serious. You must take your life seriously. You must not, I'm not saying you don't have fun. I'm not saying you shouldn't joke. You shouldn't enjoy jokes and all of that. But some people, their life is a complete joke. Every day, every minute is joke. They are just joking. it's just, they're like a comedy. that's dangerous, okay? Sometimes you have to be serious. You have to take your life seriously, and there's nobody that is going to be serious about your life except you. After a while, even your parents will just leave you where you are. They can't fend for you again. They'll be like, well, whatever you like, become. But we have tried for you. We have to move on to other children or move on to other things. We can't spend our whole life on you. So you have to take your life seriously. And then the third thing, like we see in the story of Anna, you have to be a man of supplication. Be a man of prayer. And length in prayer is good, but it's not just length in prayer. I like quantity of prayer. I like that you pray every time. I like that you pray everywhere. I like that you show up at office and you hear a bad report, and the first thing that comes to your mind is, Lord, I present this before you. Everywhere, 1 minute prayer, 1 second prayer, I like that. I like a long prayer too. I believe in long prayers. I believe in you pray a whole day. I believe in that. Amen. And I know God is going to take some of us there where we just be in the place of prayer for 24 hours. But I also believe in the fact that 1 second prayer, Lord, take control now. Lord, I hand over this child to you now. I need help right now. Those are prayers. And I believe God will answer them in Jesus' name. And finally, in that story, we see that she was also a woman of seeds. So she was a woman of surrender. She was serious. She had supplication. And then there was seeds. There was seeds. There was seeds in the ground. On Wednesday, I was talking to the people. And I said, the only guarantee for the future, it's a seed. Seeds guarantee future. And when we talk about seed, I'm talking about things that you give, whether it's time, whether it's resources, to God and to people. It's major in the catch-up story. Many times when we think, God, I want to catch up, many of the times that catch-up has some other element to it. There are seeds that need to go into the ground so that seed will now germinate and answer for you in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, God is interested in your lift-up, and it's your season of lift-up in the name of Jesus. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, just after the flood, this is what we read from Scripture. That God himself said, God said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. Or what it means is that if you want to command a harvest, find a seed. While the earth remains, this will be my way I will deal with this earth. I will make sure that every harvest will be looking for its corresponding seed. Because many of the time when we are looking for catch up, it's a harvest. You want the harvest. You want the harvest of a child. But what is the seed of that child that you want to put down? Look at what Anna did in her own story. Anna wanted a child. God also wanted something. Because many of the times, many of us don't know that God also has needs. Many times when you go before God, you are saying, God, do this for me. God also wants to do something. For example, in 2018, God has needs. God wants to reach this neighborhood. God wants to touch people. So you are saying, God, help me. God, and God is saying, okay, I will help you. Will you also help me? I also have needs. Because God had a need then. Remember that Eli was already messing up. His children were already messing up. So God needed a prophet. Now there was a woman saying, God, I need a child. But she had been saying, I need a child for a long time. But this time around, something told her, don't just say you need a child. Say you need a seed. Because she was not now asking for a child again. She was now asking for a seed. Say you need a seed. Say, God, I don't just need a child. Give me a seed. Give me a child that I will give back to you. God say, oh, come on. I would do that. I also need a prophet. Now we have a match. I need a prophet. You need a child. Okay, we have a match. I'll give you the child. Next year, you got your request because of a seed. God said, seed and harvest will never cease. Many of us that are here now, there are things we are believing God for. There are things that we want into 2018. You may not have what you want now, but you have something that you can sow. You have time that you can give people. You can help other people. You can do things for people for free. I mean, there are many things. I remember the first money job that I got was a website. But how did I start to stumble on website? It was to do something for free. It was to do something for free. After that job, I got another job where I was training people how to use computer. But how did I know how to train people how to use computer? When we were in school, when in college, I was the leader of our computer group. I told the people, I said, I don't think we'll be ready to go and do internship with the knowledge of information we have. Let's teach ourselves. You learn this, you learn that. Just go and do self-learning and come and teach the group. And then that's what we did. So then I had a computer. I will carry my computer. I was the leader of the group. I'll carry my computer to one lab, and then I would do training and all of that with my personal computer. It wasn't for the group. It was my personal computer. And before I knew it, I went for, when we were to go for internship, instead of me getting a job, I got a business. And the business did not just come because I know how to pray. It was because of a seed. I had sown the seed of helping other people to learn. What did God do for me? God gave me a business. Ladies and gentlemen, 2018, there are many harvests that are waiting for you. But the question is this, will you be showing, will you come to 2018 with seeds? Will you put down seeds? There are seeds that you need to put down, seeds of time. Some of you can sow some time into this church. There are some things that we can be able to do in this neighborhood to help people. There are people that need help. Ladies and gentlemen, I was talking to somebody. He said that, I don't know how true this is, that he didn't have anywhere to sleep. And that what he was going to do was that he needed $5 to get on the blue line and take the blue line to O'Hare and back like that till the morning. That was what somebody was going. This happened just after Christmas here. And there are many people like that here. So you are still saying, God, I need a job. But God is saying, some of the things you have is enough seed for me to use. Some of the things you have is enough seed for me to use. Some of us, even to even give money to the things of God is a big deal. But God is saying, the one in your hand, if I cannot trust you with the little I've given you now, how are you now asking me to give you more? Because some people, the way they do with God is that, God bless me and you will see. And God is like, you can't deceive me. What you have in your hand is enough. And I believe this sincerely. Every one of us, we have seed. We just need to find what our seed is. We have seed. There is no time that you won't have seed. That's what the scripture is saying. He said, as long as the earth remains, there will always be seed. And it is a seed that will lead to the harvest. But everybody has a seed. You have a seed. There is nothing that you want now that you don't have a seed of it in your hand. If it is a job, you have a seed. What's your seed? It may be time. You may need to do something for free for people. You may need to give your time to other people. Maybe in church. Maybe not in church. Maybe outside church. But you have the seed of time. Some of you want more resources, finances. But you have the seed of some little resources. You can sow into the house of God. You can sow into other people. You don't need an organization to help people. You can see a brother and buy, just give them a shirt. You can give them a socks. People have given me socks in this church before. Amen. Glory to God. No, I'm not asking for songs. But it doesn't have to be a big deal. It does not have to be big. I remember there was some years ago, I used to gather my offering. I used to save my offering because I just wanted to do more. I felt that what I was giving in church was too little. I wanted to do more. So I will save all the money that I get during the week. Because I wasn't working. But this uncle will come, that aunt will come, and say, take. So I gathered it together. Because I decided that I wanted to be giving a particular offering. I just decided. And I personally believe, as people move into a new year, they need to decide that. I don't give offering based on what I'm about to do at home. No. It's a decision. When I'm approaching a new year, I tell myself, this is how much I want to be giving in church. It's a decision between me and God. This is what I want to be given. God, because I'm believing that you will elevate me to another level. So I am pushing myself to that new class. Toward the end of this year, I started pushing my offering up a little bit. Just because I know, nothing has changed. The income still looked the same. But I believe that God wants to do a new thing. God wants to do something big. So I started doing that. So a seed will meet any need. So ladies and gentlemen, that's what Anna did. And that was lifted her up. She surrendered. She became serious. She didn't take things like what we see, we see. You know, there's this ki sera sera thing. What's going to be, will be. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many things that should be that are not being, you know. You need to make them to be. So get serious. Then supplication. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is a big, big weapon. It's a major tool. Every time there's opportunity to pray, seize it. Opportunity to pray as church in the morning, join. Some people don't join. Some people join and then mute it and sleep back again. We know. How do we know? Because you don't end the call when everybody ends it. We know. And some people don't join at all. Well, they wouldn't know if I didn't join. But you won't also receive the blessing if you have joined. You understand? It's your life. Join. We're going to fast in 2018. Join. Amen. Look at your neighbor. He says he's talking to you. We're going to fast. Join. Don't excuse yourself. Don't say, my stomach is something. Recently, I was getting one pain in my stomach and something was suggesting to me also. I said, forget it. Forget what? I will fast you out. You understand? So get serious and get supplicating. Pray. And then seeds. Don't discount seeds, ladies and gentlemen. Don't discount opportunity to sow seed. You can't save for your future. No. But you can sow. Because seeds go into the future. A seed can leave your hand, but it will not leave your life. It will go into the future and it will be waiting for you. I see somebody having a glorious future. In the name of Jesus, I want you to bow down your heads as we pray this morning.